Ramos has been awesome. Let's it go.
Inbounds Turner, left side of the backcourt. Turner crossed the timeline, throws it from high on the right.
He hit it, Evan Turner.
He hit it just inside of half court.
Lane's on the other wing.
Sent it in, Jerome.
College basketball. This is March Madness.
All right. What the fuck's wrong with me? I gotta do that again.
Well, do it live.
Put that in the podcast.
Yep.
Restart. Shut up.
Five to go. Lewis has been awesome. Let's it go.
Inbounds Turner, left side of the backcourt. Turner crossed the timeline, throws it from high on the right.
He hit it
just inside of half court.
Lane's on the other wing.
Sent it in, Jerome.
College basketball. This is March Madness.
Take two here. Another lovely edition of our basketball podcast. I am Timmy Hall. I've got some college basketball loving friends, Evil Bald Colin and Jacob Reimer, Rhyme Time. Boys, it's good to see you here today.
You know, the great thing about this for our Saturday morning crew is they won't know this is our second take at the Open.
Well, now they know. I mean, I kind of did just announce it. But, you know, to hear the first start of it, that's why you have to download the podcast, and then it will be completely unfiltered, and you don't miss anything. Boys, it's good to see you. How was the week that was?
It's been pretty good, other than Monday night starting out pretty rough with my Tar Heels. But
nobody wants to.
Good college basketball.
Nobody cares.
I didn't get my chicken sandwich.
No chicken sandwiches. But you know what? You know what? This guy, as we're recording the pod, Rhyme Time, comes into the radio station where we record, and he's got Raising Cane's. We'll talk chicken a little bit later in the pod.
It is a good job out of him.
You know how Raising Cane's just smells. The way that chicken mixes with the styrofoam, they've created some kind of scent that the earth has never experienced before.
Oh yeah,
Raising Cane's.
But the Matty Ice trick,
the moisture and the styrofoam and the chicken scent.
The Matty Ice trick is you got to pop the lid if you're doing takeout, because if you don't, it's gonna get soggy. So if you want to go against that, just pop the little bit, and the steam will come right out of the box.
I had to let everybody know that I'm here to walk around with my canes and just leaving a scent out in the office and in the studio.
I thought we had Raising Cane's catered for everybody, and then it's just you serving yourself.
Yeah.
We've only had that one time.
I hadn't had lunch yet. I was hungry.
It's like we're taping at 3:00. Why do you wait?
It's a late lunch.
It's a
late lunch.
I hope you got the Caniac combo.
No, I got the box. No, no slaw extra fry guy.
Amateur hour. Just like your North Carolina Tar Heels.
Oh, there we go.
You know what? Kansas sucks too.
Yeah, they do.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. They're not good. Colin, what do you think about them? I watched them play Colorado this past week.
I told you about them in the preseason.
All right. Mr. Know-it-all.
No.
Colorado hang around the whole game. Colorado sucks.
Don't survive in the octagon of doom.
They're still winless in Big 12, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
When I watch them play Kansas,
I'm thinking, I don't know how you're winless, because you're hanging in at the field house quite nicely.
They're desperate.
This is a classic Kansas team that probably gets maybe a 5 seed, maybe lower than that when it's all said and done.
Yeah.
But
you get a scare from Samford?
I think they could easily be bounced in the first round. I had to see it my junior, senior year. Let some of these other seniors on campus now feel what that's like to see you go to a basketball school and you get knocked out by Bucknell or Bradley or whatever the hell this is. It's not the way you want to feel. But they just don't have anyone
dynamic. Like, I mean, again, Hunter Dickinson's a great player, but I don't look up and down that roster. I mean, Zeke Mayo's pretty good, but really.
Not good enough, though.
He's great at home
for
Kansas. Not enough.
Yeah.
And AJ Storr not being what they paid for is... It's tough. It's tough to deal with when they don't step up.
Yeah, I thought AJ Storr was going to be a huge pickup in Bill Self's system, but it really has not panned out. And I love Zeke Mayo. He has weird splits home and away. Home, he is so good.
Well, he's from Lawrence.
Yeah, yeah. And
he went to high school with one of the real deal David Neal, who has been a godsend for Kansas football.
I did not know.
Yeah,
that.
And so it was cool. Zeke came back. He had to go away, but then came back. They're both big athletes.
It's a cool story. Yeah. Playing in your hometown and being Kansas and Allen Fieldhouse, like you want to shoot well and play well at home, but he needs to be that go to guy on the road as well.
Yeah, I just. Did I say David? I meant Devin, the running back. But either way, that is a team that I don't think they've got a run in them in March. You can almost see it on Bill Self's face, too. I mean, he's been around the block enough. He's won two titles for them now. He's busted that door down. You can just kind of tell. And he's been outspoken about teams in the past, too, where he'll just tell you flat out.
I really just can't wait for this season to be done. I think he said that about last year's team.
The game ended, when they got ran out the gym by Gonzaga, he's like, oh, I'm already on to next year.
This is what I was looking ahead to, but it's tough when you talk about Hunter Dickinson and what does he bring. Like, it's rare when you find seven-footers like that that can give you that kind of point production and rebound production.
Yeah.
So when you give me points and rebounds, I have to be okay with some other things. Like, what team? Like, Ohio State basketball wouldn't have welcomed with open arms Hunter Dickinson to be on the roster, especially when you talk about a reverse of the Michigan-Ohio State transfer. Now we've got Roddy Gale that's going to be up there that we'll see with Ohio State's big Sunday game. But that's the one that's tough for me, because I know we've all got our issues. I know, Jacob, we text like how he can't shuffle his feet.
Yeah.
Like, there's some ways that you can take him out in ball screen defense. And then and I know you too, Colin, like, have been watching him suffer at that for years.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's big guys that can't really move their feet well end up being a liability on defense, which, I mean, adds up. It really does. But yeah, I mean, you live with it because of what he's going to bring you and his game on the offensive side of the court. But yeah, I don't know how Kansas is going to look come Big 12 tournament time. I'm curious to see if they can make a run. But with the way they're built and maybe the path that they get, it just seems unlikely.
Yeah, that conference is deep this year. You bring in Arizona State, Colorado's in it now. I know they're winless, but you just add some depth to it. BYU, Utah. I mean, Arizona, first year in it, they're all the way at the top there.
I know it's hard to keep looking back at the week that was when the weekend ahead, you know,
like, right.
What the Saturday and Sunday is going to have in store for us. Rhyme Time was really hoping to see the one and the two beside these two teams. And now we get the Iron Bowl edition.
Yeah.
Like, they just got to have it all, man. The SEC has to take everything. They get the big 1-2 game coming up.
Well, that's what happens when you take advantage of NIL.
Exactly.
Well, that's
not
what
doing
I was
a good
say.
Enough job of that.
Yeah.
You infuse your programs with money, and surprisingly, it works out for you.
Yeah.
And they're look at their teams too. Like, honestly, like, just forget about what the rankings are. Just spend some time and check out some of the ball games. And like we talked about, Jacob, you joined us on the Buckeye show for that quick little hit late last week, and the analogy that we wound up with, see if you agree, Colin, and what I said was it's the Big East on steroids right now, because it's sort of some of that throwback style of basketball where it's in-your-face defense, it's physicality, where I'm sure the referees down there just ultimately have to adjust to the style of game that's being played, and something to watch for foul trouble issues when we go to tournament time. Like, we always thought how Zach Edey would be officiated. But they're athletes now, and just their players to a man. They have better players than a lot of the other conference teams that they're going up against.
But,
and so SEC has been really good.
Yeah. I've heard they're 82-82 since January 4th, but
that's coming up too. that's coming up too. We got a lot of idiots out there.
Yeah, but great point. The depth in the SEC across the board is incredible. I mean, you take a look at Mississippi State, Hubbard, and what he can do on the offensive end, but really that defense as a whole for the Bulldogs is stellar. You pair that with a team like Tennessee, these are teams that lean on that defense and that athleticism that you're referring to, and then in turn they can use it to their advantage when it comes to the offense. Even talking about teams like Vanderbilt with Mark Byington coming over from JMU, like, you just, I think the floor of this conference is kind of climbed at an astronomical rate to the point where it's making everyone better.
I mean, Arkansas is a team, like, they had a very slow start to the SEC, and now they're kind of creeping their way into the conversation of being on that bubble line. Not firmly in, but they're getting there as, like, the next four outline is what I'm getting at there with them. But like Tennessee,
you get so many chances, you know?
Yeah.
You get so many chances this year in that league.
Well, I mean, if you look
at a 5-game losing streak, and they also have a win over Michigan. You talk about Arkansas, they got a win over Michigan under their belt.
I mean,
from early
the Texas
year.
Team we saw game one, who I don't think is a bad team by any stretch.
No, but they're a good team.
They look
good
like
team.
A bottom feeder compared to the rest of them.
Right. And if you
they're
put
15
them,
and 10 right now,
that's
the same as Ohio State.
Right. They're right there with Ohio State, but they feel like they're just they're in a different league compared to the top.
What if you put Texas in the ACC right now?
They're absolutely.
They're top two, top three. Like they're all the way up there. I mean, well, and like if you look at Alabama's schedule, like from starting a few weeks ago, at Mississippi State, Georgia at home, at Arkansas, at Texas, they got the Iron Bowl this week, at Missouri versus Kentucky, Mississippi State again, at Tennessee, Florida at home, and at Auburn to finish the year.
How have they won like 16 out of 17
games?
That's
all quad one opportunities right there.
How have they done that? I mean, Auburn and Alabama, 10-1. Both 10-1.
Dennis Gates, the work he's done to turn around that Missouri program, again, that we're just making examples of every single team, it seems like, in the SEC that has gotten significantly better. It's hard to get any worse than losing no conference or winning no conference games.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. This is actually Auburn's last four games. You've got top 20 games all the way through. Home against Ole Miss, at Kentucky, at Texas A&M, and then again home against Alabama. Brutal.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It absolutely doesn't matter. That is literally just going to be iron sharpening iron for a team like that. You can make that one we'll see argument of, are they worn down? Like, are they so exhausted? You can get into some of those conversations of, do we even want to go on a deep run in the SEC tournament? I'm sure for their fans, that discussion is going to pop up
when
it comes time.
No, that's definitely real.
Yeah.
But we make these comments in leagues across multiple sports, man. It's a battle. It's a war every single night, no matter who you play in your league. But, I mean, it is actually a fact in this league that there is no off night. You can't take a night off, or you could get run out of your own gym even.
Well, and you saw Auburn and Alabama avoid trap spots on the road. Auburn against Vandy, winning by double digits. Bama at Texas, winning by 23. And now they're set up for the big 1-2 matchup on Saturday.
All right. I want you guys to think real hard. It's me, Timmy Hall, Evil Bald Colin, and Rhyme Time on Mad About Hoops. I got to meet somebody recently, whether it's through being a fan or through the job, but cool people in this game that we've gotten to meet. I had a white whale here recently, and it was awesome. And I'll tell you about that. Quick pause. It is Mad About Hoops.
All college basketball, all the time. You're listening to Mad About Hoops. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Mad About Hoops, college basketball podcast here. And we say hello if you're listening to the replay on The Fan on Saturday morning. Saturday mornings at 8. Getting you caught up with the week that was and the weekend that's about to happen in the game we love. Timmy Hall, Evil Bald Colin, Rhyme Time. So I take you back to Ohio State against Maryland. Home game, obviously one that the Buckeyes had to have, and it did not look good. Were you at that one with me, Colin? Finally?
No, I was in New Orleans.
Which one were you at recently?
It would have been Iowa.
Iowa game.
Yes.
That was a nice one.
It was a very nice
one. Crowd, good win, but
Fran just as frantic as ever.
Yeah, God
love
Fran.
Some booing over a certain promotion that did not pay off.
But forget about Fran, forget about Iowa. Maryland game. Before it started, I don't know what came over me. It's not often that I do this, but I can sort of tell with my experience when somebody that's there to work the game actually has a minute to spare. I could tell by looking over in the direction where the setup is, and I'm talking about a broadcaster in this sense. So they're sitting there like front and center where the TV crew would be, and it's long enough before the game that you know that they're not even on the air yet, and you're probably in a pocket where all your preparation is done, and you are kind of relaxed and just waiting for the lights to come on and for that first segment for the telecast. And I noticed that Bill Raftery was on this call. I actually didn't know it ahead of time. I sometimes look that stuff up. Sometimes I don't care. And so I get to the arena there and I'm all set up and I see Bill standing up, has the headset off, and he was having a quick word with one of the Redcoats, like right behind where he was standing. And I asked Jerry Emig, who is, as most people know, is Ohio State's longtime football sports information director. Occasionally, he will just have a seat at home men's basketball games and help maybe assist what Gary Pettit is doing there or do some other tasks. I asked Jerry if he knew Bill Raftery. See where I'm going with this? Just so I maybe wasn't some random media guy going over to try to say, hey, like, hey, Bill, like, how's it going? Like, I'm so-and-so. I asked Jerry because he does media and media relations for Ohio State. And he said, yes, like it's been a long time since I talked to him, but years ago, you know, I helped him, you know, set up some interviews or whatnot. And so Jerry was going to go over to say hello. And I kind of walked there with Jerry. And so Jerry and Bill had a word together. They were talking about some things from the past, and I kind of let their conversation play out, and I stood there just kindly. And Bill just eventually, when in the middle of their conversation, just turns and makes eye contact with me, you know, extends his hand for a handshake and says, hey, how do you do? You know, I'm Bill. And I shake his hand back, of course. And I said, yes, you know, Mr. Raftery, I think you are. And I told him this. I said, I think you are the best broadcaster in the history of our game. Very pleased to meet you. I'm so-and-so. I work for our local radio station here. We're big college basketball guys. Love everything you do. And then the conversation just sort of naturally switched to a couple of other things. We talked some football in there recently coming off the national championship because he asked Jerry another question about how it must have been busy for you guys. And he kind of was asking me as well with the football run and all that went into that, saying yes and all that good stuff. He was just so nice. I couldn't tell you how pleased I was with that 3.5 minutes just to get the handshake, have a quick word, show some respect to a guy that means a great deal to our game. Obviously coming off of the Dick Vitale stuff last week as well, which was awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the cool guys I've gotten to meet in this game. It took me back to when I was in college doing student radio at KU, and me and my broadcast partner, this was way before tip-off. We got in early before the arena's even open, so way before tip-off, and Vern Lundquist was calling the game for CBS. It was a big KU-Oklahoma State game, and we got to talk to Vern, and he offered up the time, too, for 20 minutes or so.
Wow.
He was asking us so many questions. We were asking him questions. We were even talking about Happy Gilmore and his cameo in that convo. So it was up there. Vern, we got to talk to for a lot longer. He even gave us his phone number at that point in time to have him on as a guest on our little college radio shows.
Wow.
But Bill, that's incredible. Bill was fantastic. And no, I did not say, Lajrema, onions.
Bill,
so
what's your
MF'ing loud.
Bill, what's your favorite vegetable?
Bill, what's your favorite defense? What do you like? Miniman. No, but it was great.
No,
it was
that's very
great.
Cool. I'm definitely jealous of that. There's definitely, I think in the sport right now, there's plenty of people that you can look up to and admire just across the entire broadcasting landscape. And we're in a pretty good time right now. Just enjoy while you have everyone to hear them.
Yeah, I mean, it is very impressive that he's able to do as many games as he does at his age. And then getting into the NCAA tournament, I mean, he's the lead analyst on, like, for national championship games and stuff like that. You get all the big moments basically from him, and it's really cool to see what he's doing.
Yeah. What about you guys? Like, who are some of the people that stick out that you got to share a conversation with, meet anyone in the game of basketball so far?
That's a great question. I honestly, in terms of college basketball, that's the one sport where I really haven't gotten to the top yet. I mean, I've enjoyed people like Mike DeCourcy, who does bracketology for Fox Sports. He's a really good guy to chat it up with and discuss all of that art with him. But
yeah,
no,
I believe Mike is a Cincinnati guy.
He is.
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah.
But I have not had extensive time with a lot of like a Jim Jackson, who does some, obviously, Buckeye and does some Fox Sports. Billis, I would enjoy. Jay Williams.
Yeah.
I would always enjoy just talking ball with those type of guys, but I haven't had the chance yet.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I haven't really. I'm getting my foot in the door with it now, and I think
you've been I mean, Jacob, you've been retweeted by many
okay.
current and okay. former North Carolina basketball stars. Didn't R.J. Barry...
Joel Berry.
I combined R.J. Davis and Joel Berry.
I have a follow from him. Yeah. I've been interacted with by Theo Pinson. Leaky Black liked one of my tweets recently.
Leaky Black. Yeah. That's the thing. We got to get it beyond just the social media clicks.
Okay. I thought we were just going like
we
like
got to get it beyond the social media
like
clicks, and we got to meet the people out there.
We have evidence that you've interacted with Leaky Black. Can you get an answer from him on what he was thinking when he threw the ball off the backboard?
I'll see what I can do.
I think they were playing Baylor in that game.
What play are you talking about?
There was an iconic play where he was around like half court, maybe past
that. And I think he was trying to throw it to Armando, and it just went straight off the backboard.
Yeah, you got to look it up sometime. It was in the NCAA tournament.
It was the
most absurd pass attempt I've ever seen.
There's nothing like, though, those lobs that just wind up going into the hoop, right?
Yeah. He almost had one of those.
Yeah.
It was just a little too hard off the backboard.
Yeah, I think there was a lob to Aaron Bradshaw in this last Ohio State game when they were blowing out Washington that I thought was going to go just right in the basket. And I wasn't sure if they were going to call an offensive goaltending or not, but they let that one stand.
Well,
a big offensive game for Aaron. He hit all of his shots.
I think it was Bardo that did the game.
I haven't gotten to meet Stephen Bardo yet. He also seems like such a nice guy,
we've had him as a guest. He's pretty good, but... I can't remember if it was Bardo or someone else, but they were mentioning how the replay from the side looked like, yeah, it was going to go in. But once they had the behind the hoop angle, it was clearly off to the left-hand side.
Yeah. No, I'm trying to think of who, like you talk about guests from your daily job of doing a 12-3 sports radio show. You're obviously texting and having quick phone calls with lots of guys. And then when you go out and have an experience like you did for Super Bowl Media Row, I mean, geez, she's not really college basketball, but you talk about one of the hottest in many, more than one way, like just stars right now, and Paige Spiranak.
Hey, man, I'm just trying to do my job, get the best guest possible for our show. I know my hosts were very happy about landing that interview, and you know what? They had a great conversation.
That's all that matters is the host, he's setting them up for it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I honestly can't even take credit for it. Anthony Rothman put the most work into getting that interview scheduled. So I got to give him all the credit. He was very persistent on trying to get it on the schedule, and he did well.
Yeah, that was incredible getting to see that. I still need to go back and listen to that interview. That sounded like it was pretty cool.
I can't believe I actually was able to find this quickly, but I put this in the system. This was from when I worked at my previous radio station where I had the famous Jim Tressel interview.
Oh, that's right.
It was the bad day at work. But we used to book Dick Vitale, right? We're in Tobacco Road. We got Duke and Carolina, the beautiful people in Chapel Hill. So he would come on a lot, right? And he was very gracious. But the thing I almost respected about Dickie V is when his time was up, like in his mental clock, he would be totally cool with ending the interview, like on his own accord. You know how some guests, they have to be let go by the hosts. And I've been on the receiving end of this also. Like I do like three or four radio stations around that want to have me on to talk Buckeye football. And sometimes it can be 15, 20 minutes and they just keep asking you question after question. You don't want to be rude and say like, I got to go now. Like, right. Like, how do you do that? But this was an example of what Dick Vitale would do to us.
Hey guys, I got to get a T.O. baby and I got to run. But I think Carolina will celebrate.
I got to get a T.O. and I got to run.
I got to get a T.O.
in the interview. Like you heard my host's voice there. We would just kind of say, bye, Dickie. Bye. Like, okay, see you later. It's
he's still a coach at heart, man. He's got to get his official timeout.
You got some of his like iconic, like when you're in the run and you get the, oh, got to get a T.O., baby. You got that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, didn't get to meet him in person.
Yeah.
But having some texts and some of the calls before you put him on the air. And just a legend. Was so great to see him back. Don't want any slander on Dickie V. What
Absolutely
he's done
not.
For the game, the millions that he has helped raise for cancer research. See, so many people will get problems when they start to talk about the V Foundation during a game or whatever, and people will bicker and complain. Hands off, Dickie.
Yeah, what he's done for the game has been unbelievable. It was so great, even though we missed the start of it. being on ESPN News.
That's right.
It was so great to see him back in action calling a game, and the magnitude of that game being an upset on the road with Duke and Cooper Flagg. It couldn't have been much better for that for a return.
All right, we're getting a big update in the college basketball season. We'll take a look at what that is and if it's even important at this point. You guys have Mad About Hoops.
One of these men is evil and bald. The other one is Timmy Hall, swinging his meat bat. You're listening to Mad About Hoops on The Fan.
I'm Timmy Hall. He's Evil Bald Colin. Jacob Reimer, Rhyme Time. So, if you guys forgot, who puts this out now? Is this the actual NCAA?
Yeah, it's the selection committee for the tournament.
The selection committee puts out the top 16. Top four seeds, they break it down. I mean, the regions are obviously going to switch. They're going to move around. Do they put regions
assigned to this? They put them in the regions, yeah.
They put this in there, so you're basically going to get their top 16 in college basketball, what the 1, 2, 3, and 4 seed lines are looking like right now. Why do you think they opted to do this? Like, what's the big reason? Is this just for clickbait and fodder to get people talking about their game, or is there another reason?
I feel like they're thinking of it, obviously, television. You can do a show. They think it might be transparency, but at the same time, there's so much time left that things can change. Like, what are you showing other than maybe where you think teams relate in comparison to each other?
Yeah, I think it's, like, just a good, like, midpoint of the conference to get conference season to see where everybody's at.
Well, that's the point. We have 5 games left in the regular season. We're at the point now. I feel like if you wanted to do the midpoint, you could have done it back in January. Yeah. At this point, we're like,
That's what I'm saying. Like doing the polls at the beginning of the season. It's just what we've always done. It's just a way to hype things up for your sport. There's something about a fan base of a sport in general, just being in the know, right? It just sort of lets everybody feel like they're involved, and we know who the big players are in our game right now. And now we know, like, if one of these teams falls apart, then they really did fall apart, because we know that they were up here 3/4 of the way through. And if one of these teams goes tumbling down the hill, then you might know, like, well, probably could stay away from them because they're not hot at the most important time of the college basketball season, like potentially a team like Kansas, if they're going to be on the 4 line, or if they're already not. I would imagine with their wins, they have to be, because remember, Kansas, for as much as I don't like them right now, I joked about it at the time, but, like, well, they locked up a 1 seed in the first 2 weeks of the season. They beat UNC, they beat Michigan State, and then they beat Duke. Like, that still matters for them, even late in the year.
I think it can also give you an idea of how they think of resumes for certain teams.
Right.
It definitely can tell you if they kind of I don't even know how to word it, but they think of them lower than maybe the general consensus.
Well, and if you look at, like, how high the SEC is right now, like, I mean, the top 3 teams are all SEC, and like Florida and Tennessee are making a case to be a 1 seed. But I think Auburn and Alabama will probably be those 2 come Selection Sunday. But you've got to throw in Big 12 tournament, Big East, if St. John's keeps up this hot streak and going on a run. I think Houston can make a really good argument if they run the table, win the Big 12. I mean, shoot, even Iowa State, maybe. They got a pretty solid resume.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And I think it's going to tell you the direction that I think a lot of teams are heading, in their opinion. Like, if I don't know if you're going to... The way I want to phrase this, I don't know if you're going to be able to take away a whole lot from whether it's Florida or Tennessee as the last 4.
Right.
Like, what is there anything to take away from it? Or is it just, you know... Mm.
They're playing some of the best ball right now.
Yeah, is it just the team that's hot right now?
Yeah, because, I mean, they're Florida's off that Auburn win, which was huge on the road, and then they went on the road and beat Mississippi State as well. And, I mean, Tennessee, I mean, they've both smacked each other.
They're still, like, despite what happens to these SEC teams, a lot of top 4 seed teams.
Yeah.
I mean, you can honestly make an argument that they'd have 4 1 seeds. But Duke's going to be one of them, but the other 3 are going to be SECs.
Realistically, because you can't put, like, SEC as a 1 and a 2 in the same region, why not just put, I know Duke's going to be like, they'll be upset about not being a one seed and getting to pick their region and stuff like that. But to separate all that, then just put all the SEC teams as a one seed,
you
maybe.
You possibly could, right, because you've got Auburn, Alabama, Florida, all ones, Tennessee possibly a one,
A&M
right?
could sneak their way up.
A&M could sneak their way up, so they're at least a two. So whatever that one, like Florida or Tennessee, if they're not a one, they're a two. So it's three ones and two twos.
So I put together my own top 16, but I listed it out and I put it into regions as well. And trying to get it to where like you're not getting previous matchups throughout the season in like the Sweet 16. You want that kind of more in the Elite Eight, but also not getting where SEC or Big 12 teams are playing each other in the Sweet 16. Mm-hmm. My brain just turned to mush trying to figure out how to get around all of it.
But that's the issue with such a good conference, right? The SEC. They're making the committee's decisions tougher just simply based off of being too good.
Couple questions. So you've done this already. Colin, have you jotted something down yet?
If his brain's turning to mush, I'm definitely not doing it.
What about like a team like Purdue?
Three seed? I have them as a two.
I have them, but they are the
third best two seed is what I have.
And then they lost recently to Michigan, but that was a, you know, that was a 2-point game. It was a road game.
Well, and if you're talking
about Michigan got beat by 30 by them on the flip side.
Right. If you're talking about teams trending, like, I mean, Michigan's trending up right now. Michigan State has
lost.
Where do you have
Michigan?
I don't have Michigan in.
Okay.
They're right there to potentially be a four seed, though. Like, I think the next team out of that.
You have Memphis in there?
I do. They're the last 16. Yeah.
That's the last one.
That's the last one.
St. John's obviously is in there.
Yep, they're a three
seed.
That's
interesting
for me.
Because the net does not really like Memphis all that much.
St. John's in the metrics,
and
too.
And I'm not saying you're wrong. I just think it's funny how some of these metrics, especially the NCAA's own metric, isn't super high on them, but I see a lot of fours and fives across bracketology for them.
Right. Yeah. I think they're going to end up being right in that range because, like, yeah, how many great wins do they have? They beat Michigan State in Maui. I'm trying to just think of some other ones. I mean, I don't know if you could say they hung with Auburn. They in the Maui championship, Auburn kind of ran away with that at the end. But I mean, their record stacks up for it. They play a good brand of ball. They're elite defensively. They take a ton of threes and they make them. Very athletic team. I couldn't put them as the four seed in Auburn's region because they've already played.
Yeah.
So had to move them around there.
By the way, something to watch for St. John's, 80th best offense. 80th.
That's crazy to me. But
they're top 20 in the KenPom because they're 21-4. They just lost a game though. And when they go cold, it's almost a little bit reminiscent of Iowa State. Last year.
Sure.
Yeah.
You always hit me with them. Like that and that's second best defense.
Yeah.
Incredible defense. Worst offense of anyone that I think is up in like the top 40 in KenPom. So that's something to keep an eye out.
I was all in
about the Johnnies.
I was all in on fading Iowa State last year because I've heard a stat about if you're starting if a team is a one or a two seed starting when they started outside the AP poll to start the year. And they get that high, they normally get bounced early. So, like, I had Drake beating them in the second round.
That's not something that would concern me as much as if you showed me that they're outside the top 80 in offense, though.
Yeah, yeah.
The fact that they just weren't ranked. But if that's a thing,
we're always looking for things. It didn't work this time. But, I mean, for how bad St. John's is shooting the ball, I could see that trend matching this year. Because if they go on and win the Big East, I think they end up a two seed, one of the lower two seeds.
We're always looking for things. All right, well, we got a big game coming up for Ohio State. Biggest game in three seasons, possibly?
Yeah.
With a home game against Michigan, with what they have a chance to do with their tournament resume. So Jake Diebler's got thoughts on that. And sounds from the week in college basketball. Some funny stuff, some stupid stuff as well. Quick pause. It's Mad About Hoops.
All the college basketball talk you can handle. You're listening to Mad About Hoops. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Nothing like a Saturday full of action in college basketball. Love that. Timmy Hall, Evil Bald Colin. Rhyme time, Jacob Reimer. It is Mad About Hoops, the full unfiltered podcast. Anywhere you get your audio. So download, subscribe. We say hello to the replay guys. on the Fan on Saturday morning. Big game coming up Sunday, 1 o'clock. Buckeyes, Michigan. Jake Diebler had a impromptu special media availability on Friday afternoon, adding an extra one to try to get it pumped up. The Buckeye Show, having a whole row of fans for this game. So, love that. Wow. Trying to get people there. I want this. I hope it's a great crowd. It's honestly got, it's going to be the best crowd of the season so far. It's just, will it get close to capacity? Because it's tough to see those end zones and those corners full at the Schottenstein Center with what it seats.
I feel like it could.
That'll be the real litmus test on the rest of the season, I think, in terms of crowds.
Yeah. How are we doing? How are we ready for this
big,
one?
The big return of Roddy Gale, too.
Well, here's, as we get to some sounds in college basketball this week, this was Jake Diebler on what it's going to be like facing Roddy Gale for the first time. I think Diebler's done a good job of that this week, where people wonder, like, oh, what other Ohio State-Michigan games on campus mean as much as football? He is trying to make a point of letting everyone know this means the biggest deal to me, and this is not just another game. And I love that. You need to do that for some of your games on the schedule.
Yeah, it's interesting. The rivalry aspect of the game, I didn't think was as strong back in, like, the Tommy Amaker, like, Thad era, but they were still really good, really impactful games back then, but it just didn't feel as strong. Honestly, it felt like maybe more in the 90s into the 2000s, it was more of Indiana was the big rival in that aspect. But yeah, no, it's great to get it back and at a higher level, and I'm all for it if that's the direction it's going.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. Big rivalry game, Roddy coming back. I'm really hoping that Dusty May, guy that, I mean, this is a big game for Jake Diebler because, I mean,
of course,
if he's paying attention to anything outside of the program, like coming into it, it was coming into the year or the decision to hire Jake Diebler, a lot of people were thinking Dusty May.
Yeah, and he said,
was
you know,
guy.
He said, I know him, you know, highly respect him and what he's done in the game and know him from our days in the SEC. And he did even say, like, kind of looked and gave me the eye, and like, we're not maybe as friendly as it once was. So I'm like, I got it. This was great too. He talked about one of his kids not understanding, when I say kids, family, like actual children, not understanding how Roddy left. One of the enemies. I don't know why he did this, but he did. I still got to like him to some degree.
It's interesting. I think the fans out there have kind of felt the same frustrations with Roddy that I think a lot of fans here did. And it's the turnover, some of the offensive game. He's always going to give you the athleticism and defense, though, that I think really helps him keep his minutes on the floor. But yeah, no, he's a key piece to a roster that's going to give Ohio State a ton of challenges, especially with that front court.
He had a pretty big game for them off the bench in that Purdue win the other night. 14 points, 7 boards, was 5 of 10 from the field. Maybe knowing that this game is coming up, wants to step up his play. But yeah, when I'm with you, like, the shot selection just wasn't there when he was here, turnover issues. So
you could see that he was a good piece, though.
Yes.
Yeah. Someone that you'd want on your roster.
I loved his defensive
backcourt depth. And if he comes off the bench, man, like, you like that.
I thought he was a pretty solid defender.
He absolutely was.
Yeah.
And a guy that was streaky with his scoring.
Right.
They had that game, the Bama game, right, where it was 30 and 30. Ohio State did when they beat Alabama. It's hard to imagine, right, that last year
they beat Alabama. A Final Four team.
Yeah, and they scored almost 100 points in that game. And then, you know, some of the Holtman teams down the stretch, they hit these streaks where they could not find wins. So, sound from the week. We haven't really done this before, but there's so many great snippets and pieces of audio from the week. We thought, why not share some with you in one place? Rhyme time, Evil Ball, Colin. I know you were loving this after the winning streak ended for Creighton. This was a big game this past week. UConn and the hottest coach in the land. I say hot because he's a hothead in addition to being a right. champion. Dan Hurley yelling at some Creighton fans. You'll hear something pretty clear here in a second.
Two rings, Baldy.
Get out. Don't talk at me. He's raising the roof. He's throwing the hands up. He's pointing at the rings. Like this guy. He's the modern Bobby Knight. Bobby wouldn't even do that.
College basketball needed a villain, and
they got one.
They got one for sure.
It's interesting. I've never really seen a coach, maybe outside of Nick Sirianni, doing it in the NFL this past year with fans in the stands kind of yelling at him, but just the constant engaging with fans as he's walking off the court is unlike anything I've really seen in the modern game.
You really are making the choice.
Yeah.
You're really making the choice to do that.
He's always had a thing with Creighton and just never been able to win in Omaha, and now he finally gets it done. A lot of people are disagreeing with him doing this, but I'm with it because
it brings
a villain aspect to it, and for how much trash he's been given from Creighton fans. Like,
this is the line you draw, though. Like, this, of all things, is what you're drawing.
I needed a villain back in college basketball.
It wasn't the telling the ref, I'm the best coach. Talk to me.
There's no,
Well, that too, but.
This is rather tame. It's funny. Like, it's not like a big deal. Like, it's funny. I would hope that the fans that were on the receiving end of that, you got to get a kick out of that, right?
Oh, yes.
Dan Hurley pointed at me and said, two rings, Baldy. I'm like, all right, that's good.
Well, I got
to go F yourself, Dan.
I got a feel of it down at CentOS when an hour before tip and students are piling in and Dan Hurley, I don't even think was on the floor and they're chanting F Dan Hurley.
That's the funny thing in college basketball and warmups. The coaches never come out until it's time for tip off.
Here, let's get stupid here. There's a couple pieces of audio with this theme and for whatever reason, this became a deal where everyone's looking at the SEC and wondering how good they are. And people noticed how incredible their non-conference record was. And then somewhere along the line, some broadcasters started to turn it into, but what about their record in conference? And Carl Ravich, who is a star for ESPN, fell down this rabbit
hole. With the toupee.
You know how dominant they were in the non-conference season, the SEC? They were 185-23. Since January 4 into Tuesday, the SEC teams are 82-82. It's not as if one team or two teams or three. They're 82-82. Like, there's been no ability to pull away. There's no dominant group of teams. So think about it.
So he tweeted out 4 hours after landing, reading all the responses. It's overwhelming. I'll heed the advice of my ex-friends and take the L. My bad, my mistake. Always appreciate the feedback and grateful for the audience. A bunch of huge games left. Let's enjoy them.
Well, that's
he took a beating for that.
I think that post was actually after he tried to deflect off of reading the stat and talking about how they always get stats throughout the game. They don't know.
Oh, he had a deflection tweet that I missed?
He might have deleted it, but I thought he had a deflection tweet before that.
I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Now I want to see if it is still up.
No, it's funny, man. I mean,
you're 500. Everybody's 500. Conference versus conference.
I think this actually started in the college basketball Twitter sphere of like burner accounts that posted it. It got picked up by people that had importance. A coach ended up sharing the same type of statistic in a press conference, and then you just heard Carl Ravich use it on the broadcast of an SEC game.
We've got Mark Pope, Kentucky coach in the SEC. They kind of spoofed him in a press conference here.
Everybody talks about the SEC being the best conference in college basketball, but the conference is just 500 since conference play started. What do you make of that?
I think it's been a really disappointing start to conference play. I feel like we should, I feel like we're not living up to the expectations, just being at 500 as a conference. And I just, you know, I'm kind of looking around at the other programs in the league, but like, guys, we got to pick this up. This is embarrassing.
So Mark, you know, I got real after that, but going with the super sarcastic type of way there and wearing a slick little Letterman jacket too. Mark Pope, Kentucky's coach. Archie Miller, of course, got caught by that too. He was one that they caught. I play you a different one from Archie, though. While I was kind of looking at him. This from after one of their games when Xavier was also in the state of Rhode Island for a game at Providence.
You want the Xavier score?
Is it positive or negative?
Positive for you, maybe not for other fans around the state.
No, there's only one person that would be positive for it. There isn't, unless the University of Rhode Island and Rhodey Nation cares if PC wins the game, so to speak. I don't think we're only, you only worry about me. But no, if it's a good score, give it to me. If it's not a good score, I'm going.
They're up 24 in a second.
It's a good night. It's a good night. The good thing is he's 20 minutes up the road. He didn't call. He doesn't care to see me. Doesn't want to spend any time with his brother, I guess. So thanks, everybody.
It's like I gotta say, the part at the end, I think there might be some truth to that. I think there might be a little rift between brothers right there.
He sounds a little upset there.
He does. Like I could see his face while watching it, and like you hear it in his voice. Like sometimes there's truths in there.
Yeah, I'm glad both of them are back in the sport because they deserve it. They're really good coaches, and I hope Rhode Island and Xavier are very good for years to come with them in leadership. But man, that year or so when they were both out of the game and they were doing Field of 68.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were doing a lot of coverage with them, and I thought they were great in breaking down the season and games and whatnot. And they're a very enjoyable duo to hear.
Oh, two great basketball minds for sure. Can we get like a little charity exhibition game out in Rhode Island for between the brothers?
Yeah, I'd be down for that.
That's awesome. So cool.
Get them talking to each other too.
Yeah, right.
they kind of have to. Maybe they skip the handshake line. I don't know. This last one here, John Mobley Jr. I don't know if he's done media yet this season until this most recent win for them over Washington, or Washington, if you like the R. Here was John Mobley.
Oh, yeah, we need that. You know, me growing up from here, never really liked Michigan, so definitely need that one.
He's a killer. He's a killer. John Mobley asked about Michigan.
He even kind of sounds like a freshman. He just sounds young.
Yeah, he does. But
he's got that locked in energy right now. I like that.
He had quite a smile on him while he was saying those words.
I love that. That was the first time I heard that. That just tells me that, I mean, he's rolled off 2 20-point games in a row, right? So,
and the threes are going in.
Yeah. He's been due.
And he's still not afraid to step up and shoot him.
I wish I had the confidence that he does.
We all need that confidence.
Yes.
We do. All right, Rhyme Time, Evil Bald Colin, good stuff. Everybody, thank you for listening. Obviously, download and subscribe anywhere you get your audio for a ton of good college basketball coverage. Enjoy the weekend of hoops. This is Mad About Hoops.